Give the Lord a hand for his servant, Brother Tommy Williams, as he comes.
Well, glory to God. What a day. Amen. Every day. Every day with Jesus is better than the day before. Praise God. Hallelujah. Before I start, most everybody knows my daughter Tarina and her daughter Jency, wherever she is. Wave your hand, Jency, so I can spot you. There she is. Okay. But I also have with me today my youngest daughter, Simbra. So Simbra, you got to stand up because they don't know you. Don't everybody know you, but praise God. She got up before breakfast this morning and drove down here from Fort Worth so she could hear Daddy speak. Praise God. Hallelujah. I appreciate that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we want to thank you for the presence and power of the Spirit of God that's here. We want to thank you for the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for the Spirit of God that lives and abides and dwells on the inside of me. I call upon that anointing that has called me to be a teacher of the Word. I call upon that anointing to rise and live big on the inside of me today, to think through my thoughts and speak through my words and use my spirit, my soul, my body, that I can be a blessing to the people of God. Father, I thank you that everyone that has an ear today will hear what the Spirit says to the church, and then we'll go the step further and declare we will be doers of the work and not hearers only. Therefore, we can boldly declare that we're blessed in all of our deeds. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. If you ever buy your Bibles this morning, open them with me to Hebrews chapter 10. If you were here back in the MAC meeting, I was speaking on the subject that I was calling then life after the cross. Some people want to stop at the cross, and you definitely need to go to the cross, and receive the salvation that is ours. But then we continue to live after that. And so we talked about life after the cross. This morning would probably go in that category, but the thought that I have, the word that God gave me is the body flowing. The body flowing in 2015. And we're not talking about the year 33, and we're not talking about the year, any other year. We're talking about this year. The body flowing in 2015. Are you part of the body of Christ? Amen. Are you born again? You're born again, you're part of the body of Christ. Then this is a word for you today. And it's going to sound like Bible 101 when we start off. And we need to get some Bible 101 this morning. But if you'll continue to listen, I believe you'll get a challenge in your heart, in your life. And I believe that challenge received and acted upon it will change not only Austin, but change everything around. Praise God. All right? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Praise God. Now, there are many teachers that teach on end time prophecy and talk about they have a time when they think Jesus is going to return and one thing and another. But that's not me. That's not the way I teach. But I will say to you this morning that we are closer now than we've ever been before. Amen. So the day of the Lord is approaching closer now than it has ever been before. And I realize the day of the Lord's a lot bigger than just the return of the Lord to this earth. But using that as a springboard for our thought this morning, recognize this is a word for us today. Amen? You see, there's a lot of times we get born again, we get spirit-filled, we get healed, we get blessed, we get prosperous, we get fat and lazy. No, we kind of lean back and say, soul, take thine ease, and we kind of enter into a slope to where we just kind of become flowing in nothing. Hallelujah. But he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So this is not a message that is just to someone that just got born again. It's not a message for yesterday or yesteryear. It's a message for us today. It's a message for now. All right? Now, I'm not a lawyer, certainly not a lawyer, and don't know anything about court cases or anything other than what I've seen on TV. But as I've watched them on TV, there are times that they will say, we're going to say this and ask you this just so it'll be a part of the record. We want to make it a part of the record. So I know if we come down to the nitty-gritty of it and ask you this, I know that you know this, but I want to go over this as a point of to have it in the record. All right? We refer to, I'll meet you down at the church. We refer to, I'm going to the church. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we recognize that this building is where we meet. Amen? And we are the church. The house of the Lord is not this building, although it is a building for the house of the Lord to come meet in. Amen? But the house of the Lord is not this building. We are the house of the Lord. We know that, but we need to get that in the record today. We need to get that in our thinking today. But I want you to notice what he said. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Praise God. We need to go beyond just thinking I'm going to church. We need to go beyond just thinking it's Sunday, so it's church day. We need to go beyond that, and we need to recognize the assembling of ourselves together. Forsaking not. The word forsaking means to leave behind or to desert. You know, I am convinced that there's things that the body of Christ has left behind and have deserted that should not have been. All right? So he says, don't forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. The Greek word for assembling of ourselves together is one word, and the interpreter used those four words to interpret what it said, trying to bring out the fullness of what it means to assemble ourselves together. The assembling of ourselves together means completeness. It also means a Christian meeting for the purpose of worship. Praise God. See, we didn't come here this morning because it's Sunday. If you did, you missed something. Amen? If you have boiled God down into the point to where you come to service because it's the certain day, or because there's a certain person there, or because of whatever other cause that you might call it, then you're missing something. The assembling of ourselves together is it's a Christian gathering for a purpose of worshiping. We've been worshiping the Lord this morning. We've talked about how great He is. Praise God. We've talked about how we need to go out and tell others about how great He is. We've gathered together here this morning, and we've assembled, and we're a Christian meeting that's for the purpose of worship. And he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The word manner means habit or custom. Now, you know what that is saying to us? That is saying to believers, we're not talking to sinners this morning. We're not talking to unborn again people this morning. Remember when I was here at the MAC meeting, I said there's two classes of people. You're either born again or you're not born again. Amen? Yeah. There's not any other class. You're either born again or you're not born again. Well, I'm a good Christian. Well, some people think they're good sinners. Amen? But the same thing still holds. You're either born again or you're not born again. Amen? And this is not talking to people that is not born again. But he said, it has become the habit or the custom of some to forsake the assembling of themselves together. And he thought it was important enough, he took time to have it written in the book. Don't do that. Amen? Then the word, he said, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. The word exhorting, it means to call for comfort. It means to desire. It means to entreat. I don't know how you were feeling when you got here this morning. It really doesn't matter. But what we have been doing since you have got here this morning is calling you to comfort. Amen? It's calling you to peace. It's calling you to, it's entreating you to move up closer. Now, how many of you ever, don't raise your hands. How many of you ever had a day when everything is going right? And you feel like you're on a mountaintop. And you're so blessed, you feel like I'm blessed all over more than anywhere else. And you're just ready to explode with excitement of how blessed you are. Do you realize on the day that you feel down, on the day that you feel like everything's going wrong, on the day that you feel like you can't put one foot in front of the other, God has not changed. He's God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. He's God in the good times. He's God in the bad times. He's God when you feel good. He's God when you feel bad. He's God when you're happy. He's God when you're sad. But we regulate our God sometimes by what's going on round about us. And therefore, as Sister Michelle was talking about, some people are entering into fear because of what's going on round about them. Do you think this is the first time that Jesus ever met up with the devil? You think Islam or ISIS or whatever other name that they put on that, do you think it's the first time Jesus ever come up against something like that? Praise God. I mean, he's not caught off guard. Amen? He's just got this simple idea. He's God. He wins. It's already done. And since it's already done, it can't be undone. And since he already is, he can't be ain't. Amen? Irregardless of what things look like, how they change, and how we feel, or what's going on around about us, he still is. Praise God. Exhorting, call for comfort, desire, and entreat. So much the more. Much means vast quantity, amount, number. More means in greater degree and better. Day of the Lord, the day means the age, not just a 24-hour period, but it means the age. So you know, he's saying to us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much more as you see the day, the age approaching, and not slacking off, but make it more. More quantity, more amount, more numerous, greater degree, better than you started off with. Praise God. I can remember when I first got born again, I wanted them to have service every day. Hallelujah. And whenever I was pastoring, we almost did. But why do you suppose that the Lord thinks it's important enough to put this in the book and tells us specifically, do not forsake. Do not let it become a custom or a manner of habit for you, that you would start missing the assembling of yourselves together. Like I said, I know this is Bible 101, but we need to stir it up within us. Amen? Why do you suppose that he says, and so much more as you see the day approaching? Now, I was sitting down at the breakfast room of the motel a little while ago. Trina and I were partaking of some natural blessings. And we were sitting there, and I looked around, and I said to Trina, you know, it amazes me sometimes how I see things different than I used to see. I said, I look around, and I see all these young people running around here. You know, there was a, I don't know, some kind of, I think it must have been a volleyball team or something. I mean, there was some kind of a group that was there, and they was all down there partaking as well of the natural breakfast foods. And, you know, and they was bouncing around there, giggling, laughing, and, you know, and carrying on. And I looked around, and the thought that I had was, it was just a few days ago I was like that. And my thought was, you guys need to realize then in a few more days, you'll be like me. You know, as Pastor said a while ago, as long as you're breathing. Amen? Well, they try all manners of things to stop aging. All manners of things to make us look better and all kinds of, you know, and I'm not against that. Don't misunderstand me. But the fact is, if you're breathing, you're getting older. Amen? And the Bible describes your life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. I look at me in the mirror and I think, where's that 20-year-old boy that started preaching a couple of years ago? It just seems to me like it's just been a short time. Oh, okay, some of you are not old enough to get to think that way yet. But trust me, it's coming. And you look around, yeah, and people don't appreciate what they have. Hallelujah. I looked at that and I thought, boy, you guys, if you could appreciate how good you feel physically. I saw one girl squat down on the floor to tie her shoe. You know how long it's been since I've been able to squat? When I start to sit down, Trina says, let me help you down. I said, I'm going to get down. I'll go so far, and then I'm down. You know, there ain't no pausing. You're down. I mean, hallelujah. And as far as being able to squat and tie my shoes, I was wore out this morning. Time I got my shoes tied. Had to stop and take a breath. I mean, now, I'm not glorifying getting old. Don't misunderstand me, but it's coming. Amen. If you keep breathing, it's coming. We need to appreciate where we are and what's going on. Why am I saying all this? I started preaching in 1961. Some of you are old enough to realize there was a 1961 at one time. But I started preaching in 1961. And you realize the world is different now than it was then? In 1961, Joanne and I could go into a small village or town, anywhere. And they were glad to have us there. Praise God. You know why? Because there wasn't very many traveling preachers that ever came by. They have a pastor there, and he's glad to see us, because there's not very many traveling preachers that ever come by. We could start having an assembly and God show up and perform a miracle, and people from all over that little town or village are coming out. Whether they're a part of that particular denomination or group or not. But they're coming. Because why? Somebody has came by that's talking about the Word of God, that seldom ever anybody comes by like this, and there's miracles that are happening, and they want to come out and be a part of it. You know, we can go back to some of the same villages and towns now. There's some places I've been going to for 30 and 40 years. And we go back to some of the same villages in town now, and it's like, Tommy's here. Big deal. No longer means it. Some of them won't even have me back anymore. Can you believe that? It's hard for me to realize, but there's some people that don't like me. The funniest one I ever heard was the pastor who told somebody, I'll never have Tommy Williams back in my church again. He said, why? And he said, he's too sad. He never smiles. I said, which Tommy Williams is he talking about? It must be a different one than I know. You know? Hallelujah. But now, what's going on? Understand. I'm not preaching against anything, and I'm not putting anything down. All right? But now we have internet. Now we have live streaming. Now we have television. Now we have preachers that are on television. From the comfort of your own lazy boy recliner, you can hear any preacher in the world you want to hear, practically. You can have them come to your house every day. You don't have to wait for them to maybe come by once a year. And what's happening is people are beginning to forsake the assembling of themselves together. Why? Everything's available by touching a button. And I thank God that it's available. Don't misunderstand me. I love the fact that I can go in there and punch up a message on that computer and it's instantly heard around the world. Sometimes I think some people do nothing but stay on the internet. It can be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and I can go in and punch in a message and it won't be 2 seconds till somebody comments and says, I like that. I mean, sometimes it's just almost by the time you get the button hit for post, somebody's commenting back on it. And it may not be your next door neighbor. It may be somebody in another state, another country around the world. But it happens. It's instant, and I'm not against that at all. But what happens is people have been allowing that to take the place of the assembling of themselves together. And he thinks it's important enough for us to assemble ourselves together that he has it put in the book. Praise God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, I'm not going to take time to define or try to teach on these five gifts that are listed here. Let's just suffice it to say that most people are that it is a common referral to refer to these five ministry gifts as the hand of God. I don't know who started that. I don't know exactly why. But it's referred to as the hand of God and the five fingers on the hand. And these five ministry gifts whether you call them the hand or whatever, one of the fingers, or whatever you call them, these five ministry gifts have been given to the body of Christ for a reason. For the perfecting of the saints, it says. For the perfecting. The word perfecting from a Greek word meaning complete and furnishing. Now, let me explain this. You will never be any more perfect than you were the day you got born again. How many have ever helped a newborn baby? And this baby has no flaws. He's a healthy baby. Has no defects in his form at all. He's perfect. He's perfect baby. All right? But can't do nothing except cry. Amen. He's a perfect baby. But he lets you know when he needs to be changed. You know, but they have a tendency to grow up. And as they're growing up, they still need perfecting. Amen? That's why mamas and daddies have a paddle or a switch. My dad could thump you in the back of the head so hard your head would pop over and then flop back up for a couple of times. And he never used nothing but just pop. And man, your head would rattle for a while, but he had your attention. Mom always would cut a switch, and she would just fan my legs. And I'd scream like she was killing me. And then laugh when I got in the other room thinking that didn't really hurt. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. But what were they doing? They were training, they were teaching, they were perfecting us. In the best way they knew how. We have been given five ministry gifts, and we are to assemble ourselves together so these five ministry gifts can take a switch and fan our legs. Hallelujah. So they can say things for your good, whether you like it or not. Of course, you have a choice. You can get mad and go somewhere else if you want to. That doesn't change the fact that what they said to you was true. Moving right along. We have been given an assignment. Those of us in what we call the fivefold ministry gifts have been given an assignment. And that assignment is more than just getting people born again. Everybody has that assignment to reach out to the lost. Whether you do it with a truck or whatever you do it with. You have an assignment. Everybody has that assignment. So it's more than that. But we have an assignment to complete and to furnish the body of Christ. There's no way we can do it all at once, mainly because we don't know. There's things that I know now that when I started preaching in 1961, I never even heard of, much less knew. You understand what I'm talking about? So we have the responsibility to go to the Lord, let Him teach us, where we can then in turn come to the assembly and bring what God has brought to us. If all we do is parrot things that we have heard somebody else say, even though what they say may be good, it gets to where after a while it's not doing the job, because we got to keep coming to the Lord and hearing from the Lord daily, where we can come in and bring that to the body daily. Amen. Praise God. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The word work means active deed, doing, labor, work. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that are just like a lot of kids I know. They don't like to hear that word, work. Work, yeah! But we are to train them, bringing them in affection, for the work of the ministry. The word ministry means service or office. How was that? You said it this morning. I'm trying to remember. I was going to quote it this morning. You have been born again by the resurrection power. And, okay, we'll have it in just a second. Thank God those things got a better memory than me. The same Spirit of truth that raised our Lord from the dead dwells in you. He has lost none of his resurrection power. So you need to do resurrection deeds. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen? The word edifying means building up the body, the whole body. Building the whole body up. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, looking at verse 14 and following. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. Now, you know this, the setting here. Jesus has already been crucified. He's already spent time in the grave, and he's now resurrected. And he's now appearing to them and talking to them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. That's a whole other message, so we won't take time to go into that. But notice what he did. He rebuked them for their unbelief and the hardness of their heart. Now, these are the 11. These are the ones that walked closest with Jesus in his earthly ministry. And yet he rebuked them because of their unbelief and the hardness of their heart. Why? Because they hadn't believed the report of those that had seen something when they told them. Praise God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to go to church and not necessarily looking for some kind of a new revelation. Don't misunderstand me. But I want to hear something that'll challenge my thinking. Not necessarily that I hadn't heard it before, but it'll make me think in a different way. And something that and your pastor's good at that. I'm telling you, he'll say things sometimes and my brain will stop for a minute and then listen and just roll it over again and think, okay, I got it. You know? And I like that. And Jesus is saying, you guys are in trouble because you're not believing the report of someone who has seen something. Now, the seen something he's talking about here is his resurrection. But you can apply that to other things as well. You understand? So somebody comes along who has seen something. And if it puts too much of a challenge on some believers, they simply stay home. Hallelujah. Moving right along. Either that or they come up with a reason to change churches. I'm always of the impression, like the guy said, some people, I'm not going to church because I can't find a perfect church. And the guy said to him, you do realize if you ever find the perfect church, you can't go. Change churches, quit coming, whatever the case is. You know, you can listen. And again, I'm not against TV and I'm not against live streaming. Whenever I can, I listen to Pastor Jim on the live streaming and thoroughly enjoy it all the time until my internet messes up, and then I want to throw something at it, you know, just aggravates me. Aggravates me whenever he's right in the middle of something, and he goes, you know. But anyway, I enjoy that, and I get blessed with that. I enjoy all the tapes that we used to record. If you can find a tape recorder, that'll play them for you. I enjoy all the CDs. I enjoy listening to them over and over and over and over and over and over again and again and again and again. Like Jim likes to read books over and over again, I like to listen to them over and over and over and over again. Praise God. But if you're looking, not even, you don't have to be looking. If something happens that challenges you too much, one of the first thing people start doing is forsaking the assembly. Oh, they may go to church, but they ain't there. Every now and then, Jency will get so lost in her little iPhone and people texting her, or her looking at some kind of YouTube or whatever that thing's called. Her looking at something. She'll get so lost. I'll sit there and talk to her. She don't even hear me. And I'll say something else, and she don't even hear. In a little bit, I say, Jency! And she's like, what? I mean, she's there, but she ain't there. You know, there's a lot of people, I'm confident this morning, that there's a lot of people sitting inside church buildings that are not there. They're there, but they ain't there. They got their mind on football, or they got their mind on hot dogs, or they got their mind on going to county line, or they got their mind on something. Praise God. Now, didn't I do a good job of getting your mind off on something else? Come back where I am. Praise God. People sitting there, listen, look like they're listening. Some of them look like they're taking notes. But if you went by and read some of their notes, you might be surprised. Had somebody taking notes one time to see how many times I said hallelujah during my message. Oh, well, moving right along. So much the more as you see the day approaching. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these, now I want you to specifically notice verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Notice the word signs. And notice the word them. These signs, the wonders, the miracles he's about to talk about, shall follow them that believe. And then he tells what the signs are. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. No, I'm not going to say that. And sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. They did what? They went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with. Now the word them is not in the text, so I'm going to leave it out. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. In 1961, the Lord said, God, the Lord said, I, God, have a problem. And the problem is, I cannot anoint someone to do anything without somebody else, or maybe even themselves, trying to say that they're called into the fivefold ministry. I can't anoint someone to teach a Sunday school class without somebody trying to get them to go into the fivefold ministry. I can't anoint someone to do something without... And you realize anointing does not simply belong to the fivefold ministry. Grace does not simply belong to the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry are people, just like you are people. No better, no worse. They're people, just like your people. The office that they're called into may be different. And, you know, I learned over the years that there are some that I know. Praise God. Don't look at me too funny now. There's some that I know that I wish I didn't know. Because after I got to know them, I could no longer respect the man or the person. But I have to respect the office. Praise God. Amen? Do you realize that there's some in the government that I have no respect for the person? I have respect for the office, but I don't have respect for the person. The same's true in the body of Christ. There's some that I have no respect for the person. I have respect for the office that they're called into, but I have no respect for the person. But we have tended to make the fivefold ministry dumb idols that we have worshiped. And we have begun to worship the creature more than the Creator. And sometimes that's caused by forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Because there's only certain ones that I'm going to go hear. Hallelujah. And if he don't happen to come to my, he or she don't happen to come to my town, doesn't matter, because I can get them on the internet or I can get them on TV, but they're the only ones that I'm going to hear. Hallelujah. Not putting them down. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't listen to them. But when they become the God in the place of our God, then you have exalted them into a position of becoming a dumb idol that you're worshiping. And whatever they do, you just go along with it. And there's some people that are following erroneous stuff because there's a person that they respect the person more than the office. And hallelujah. Every member of the body of Christ should be anointed. You notice that on the day of Pentecost, and well, not even there. Here, where we are here in Mark, he said in verse 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Hallelujah. He said they. He didn't. This is not something. This is not an assignment he is giving to the 11. This is something he's saying, those that believe. Do you know when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, we start speaking in tongues? It's not just to give us goosebumps. It's not just to make us feel good. And it's not just so we can come back next Sunday and do it again. No. We have been filled with the Spirit of God, which is the anointing. And any preacher that preaches without an anointing is not worth listening to. They may be in a fivefold ministry calling, but if they're not anointed, and some of them are not anointed, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but some of them are not anointed. They've simply got a list of outlines, and they pick out which one they're going to speak today, and that's what they do. And people got to get all excited because of the person who's delivering it. Hallelujah. But God's wanting that to change. And he's saying to his body, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approaching, because you need to be coming to let the fivefold ministry gifts minister to you to bring completeness and perfection to your life in the level that you're living in now. And they need to be anointed to hear from God to know what to bring. I'm not preaching this to you this morning just because I picked a message out of the hat. I'm preaching this to you this morning because God told me this is something the body of Christ needs to hear in 2015. This is something we need to stir the body of Christ up with. And Pastor Jim said, come and bring it here. And so I'm here delivering the word that God has brought into my heart. It's a message you need to hear. Everybody turn to the person next to you and say, I need to hear this. And so do you. Praise God. We need to hear this. Oh, well, I go to church every time the door's open. Do you really? I'm not talking about just bodily being there. I'm talking about being there. Hallelujah. I have sat in ministers' conferences. And this is a sad reproach, but I have sat in ministers' conferences that have four or five different ministers that are three or four or five different ministers that are all teaching during that time. And obviously, none of them sat and listened to the other one. They come in when it's their time to speak and they leave when they get through. And they come back again when it's their time to speak, and they leave when they get through. And I can tell you the reason why I know they're not listening to the others, because they contradict one another. And some people are sitting there just swallowing it all because of the name of who it is that's doing the preaching. And I'm not against knowing names. Tommy Williams is a pretty big name. Add Darrell to it, it's a bigger name. Praise God. But you know, it doesn't matter. It does matter. When I was here at the MAC meeting, I received a word that said, you're going to be being sent to places that will celebrate you, not tolerate you. And I have to admit, that makes a difference. I like to be celebrated more than just tolerated. But I tell you one thing, I'll tell the truth to those that are only tolerating me. Amen. I mean, it's going to be the same message no matter how they respond to me. If they listen to me, then I'm going to be saying the same thing to ones that think I'm great and the ones that think I'm not. The ones that think I smile, the ones that think I don't. I'm going to be saying the same things to them because this is the calling that God has put in me. That does not make me better or any better than any other member of the body of Christ. Notice this. Verse 20. And they. The word they is more inclusive than just the 11 that he is talking to there. You have to put all the ones that he's talking about. The ones that believe. And the ones that have signs following and all this. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. God does not do miracles to confirm me. I have heard ministers say, don't dare speak a word. And I'm serious. I have heard ministers say this. Don't dare speak a word against me. I have signs and wonders in my ministry. Therefore, God has confirmed me. And if you try to tell me I'm wrong in something, you're wrong because God is performing miracles. Listen, the Bible says God confirms the Word. Now listen, brother and sister, I want you to hear this. You don't have to be called in the fivefold ministry to have the Word. You don't have to be called in the fivefold ministry to share the Word. You don't have to be called into the fivefold ministry to have signs and wonders and miracles follow, because it doesn't follow you. It follows the Word. This tells me that the more Word you put out, the more signs and wonders and miracles will follow you. Now, what am I saying? Don't forsake the assemblings of yourselves together, because when you get here, we're going to talk to you about going out from here. And when you go out from here, you go out from here equipped with the Word. And when you go out from here equipped with the Word, the same signs and wonders and miracles that people used to always think they had to go down to the church house to see will begin to happen right in your backyard, right in your neighbor's yard, right wherever you're at in your office, wherever you are. You begin to speak this. Hallelujah. And we are set. In 2015, God said this back in 1961. I have a problem. I can't anoint people like I want to, because they try to go into the fivefold ministry. I'm in the fivefold ministry because God told me, I've called you to teach my word. I would not have done it for any other reason. I would not have been here for 53 years if it wasn't for the fact that I know God said it. But you know, I know people around the world that thought, and I'm not judging whether they did or whether they didn't. Just listen to what I'm saying. They thought they were called into a fivefold ministry. They started into a fivefold ministry. They ran into a problem. Duh. You reckon the devil's going to just let you sail through with, well, anyway. But they started into a problem, and they couldn't get things to work right, and so they quit. And now they say, I'm miserable because I'm called, but I can't get it done. Wait a minute, those don't fit. That's like saying good grief. It doesn't fit. If it's good, it's not grief. If it's grief, it's not good. I mean, it just doesn't fit. If you're called, you can get it done. Well, God didn't do this for me. Wait a minute. Is the fault with God? Or is the fault with us? Amen. God is not changing. He's already done. He's already complete. He's already the I Am. He's already the King. And we have been made kings and lords under Him. But we come to church, we come to the assembly, we get excited and go off and all week long act like we're nothing. Why? Because I'm not called into a fivefold ministry gift. Bless your heart. The whole body's not one member. There's every member of the body is important. If you don't think your little toe is important, try hitting it against getting something when you're walking through the room. Trina stubbed her little toe one day, and it broke, and it was sticking straight out to the side from her foot. I mean, I'm talking straight out to the side of her foot. It was important. It had her attention, and she wanted something done for that little toe, and we prayed, and that little toe, we watched it as it straightened back up and just lined back right up, just lined up right in line, and God made it whole. Praise God. Now, some people think that their position in the body of Christ is not important. Yes, it is. Not only is it important, but it's important for enough that the Lord would say to you as an individual, receive this personally as an individual. The Lord thinks it's important enough for you personally as an individual that He would have me to tell you, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Praise God. He had thought it was important enough that He wrote it in the book. And he placed it in my heart to bring it and to tell you as an individual, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, because you need to come to the assembly so the fivefold ministry can teach you and bring you into working, bring you into completeness and perfection, so you can go out from here and share the word, and signs and wonders and miracles follow you wherever you go, because it confirms the word, not you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Grace is not to say, well, I can do anything I want to do and get away with it. No. Grace, thank God for grace. None of us would be here if it wasn't for grace. You don't want what you deserve, trust me. Amen. None of us want what we deserve. None of us want what we deserve. We have been given grace. Amen. But the grace that is given to us is for the purpose that we might fulfill what He's called and where He has placed us in the body of Christ. If I'm going to be a little toe, I'm going to be the best little toe that you can find. Whatever place in the body of Christ I am in, there's going to be signs and wonders and miracles following me, because I'm going to put forth the word, and the word is what the, and the signs follow the word and confirm the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I hadn't thought of this till just a moment ago. I was born and raised in West Texas, in the desert. It's a long ways to the closest beach. I was not raised walking the beach, enjoying the water, loving to go into the ocean and go swimming. I have done it. It's fun. I don't necessarily look forward to it. Okay? It's not something that I wake up and say, boy, I want to go somewhere. Where do I want to go? Beach, where I can go swimming in the ocean. And when I get there in the ocean, what I want to do is I want to learn how to surf. I have a nephew that for some reason decided that it would be a thrill to jump out of a perfectly good airplane and skydive. I cannot imagine jumping out of a perfectly good airplane and thinking that it's a thrill to skydive. If you ever hear of me parachuting out of an airplane, you realize there was no other choice. If there is another choice, I will not get out of that airplane. And yet some people thinks it's fun. And for them it is. Some people thinks it's fun to go down to the ocean and look for the biggest storm they can find with the highest waves they can find, and jump out there on that surfboard and ride the highest wave that they can find. But that ain't going to be me. And yet, those who do that, they get a thrill out of finding a great big wave to ride. And I don't know anything about it, but in pictures I've seen, sometimes they ride on top of it, and sometimes they ride through it with the water going right on over them. And hallelujah. And I don't want to do that. However, I look into the Word of God, and I see things in the Word of God that I want to find the biggest storm, the biggest wave that I can find, and surf out on it and put the word out there and watch the word be confirmed with signs, wonders, and miracles following. And to me, that's a thrill.
Yes.
Praise God. To me, that's exciting. To me, that's gooder than jumping out of an airplane.
Yep.
Praise God. To me, that's gooder than anything that I can think of. And What the Lord wants you to know is that's available to every one of you. You don't have to be on the beach. You don't ever even have to get into an airplane. Praise God. It's available to every one of you. Why? Because he's given you the Word. What does cause the signs and wonders and miracles? The Word is what causes the signs and wonders and miracles. You have the Word, which means you can have the same signs, wonders, and miracles that anybody else has. And don't let anybody tell you because you had a miracle means you must be in the pulpit and powerful ministry. No, praise God, it doesn't necessarily mean that. If you're in a pulpit and fivefold ministry, you ought to have them happening. But you ought to have them happening too, whether you ever set foot behind a pulpit or not, whether you ever stand on a stage or not. You ought to be having them happening. How are we going to have them happening? We're going to have to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We're going to have to come together so much more as we see the day approaching. I could look at that day approaching in a different light. I could say, I look out at the day that's approaching right now, and in my lifetime, it's probably the greatest darkness that I have ever seen. It's probably the greatest fear promoter that I have ever personally seen. And as I see that day approaching, then I said, so much the more. Get out there and put out the Word and watch signs and wonders and miracles. And if I have to ride through that surf with it coming over the top of me, I'll come out on the other side of it still standing on the Word, praise God. And the Word will still bear me up and hold me up, and we'll be having signs and wonders and miracles. And I'm telling you, church, that's what God wants in 2015. God wants you to burst out of here like a wave. God wants that water to run into every nook and cranny. God wants that to go forth everywhere. You don't have to wait until you can have a truck. Thank God for a truck. I'm not putting that down. But you don't have to wait. You start now. It burst out of here in every nook and cranny. Are you willing to see miracles?
Come on.
Would you like to see miracles?
Yes.
Would you like for signs and wonders and miracles to follow wherever you go?
Amen.
Well, listen, God wants it more than you do. You hear me? God wants it more than you do. Well, I'm just a young person. So what? Pastor said you needed to stay in here today. You needed to hear this. Glory to God. That you're just a young person. After a while, you'll be old. You're just a young person right now. Take advantage of it where you are now. Jump in on it with both feet. Jump in there and say, I am going to put forth the Word wherever I go, whatever I do. People said, oh boy, that thing's looking bad. You have the perfect opportunity to say, have you heard what Jesus said about it? Have you heard what the Word says about it? Oh, I'll tell you what, the politicians are just destroying America. Have you heard what the Word says about it? Have you heard what God wants to do? Have you heard? And then while you're talking to them, any need that's there, let a miracle happen. Oh, well, I couldn't possibly lay hands on a blind person and speak to them and have them receive their sight. I didn't think I could either. You've all heard me tell the first time I ever did it. When I said, Lord, I can't do that. He said, you can't heal a headache. Hallelujah. God didn't confirm me. He confirms his Word.
Yes, amen.
I said, the Word says, lay hands on them and they receive their sight. And I was just as surprised as everybody else was. Wow! And I said, let's do that again. And we've been doing that again for 53 years now. And it's exciting. And it stays exciting. Serving God does not get boring.
Come on.
Being and doing resurrected life does not get boring. Praise God. You know what I want to challenge you today? I want to challenge you to go out from here and be Lord. I want to challenge you to go out from here, wherever you work, whatever your job is, whatever position you're in. I'm not talking to fivefold ministry. I'm talking about to the body of Christ. Wherever you go, go knowing that you're king. Go knowing that you're the Lord. And go be. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
If you was as excited about it as I am, hallelujah. I believe with all my heart there's an explosion happening on the inside of people today. I believe the word is bursting forth on the inside of you, maybe in a way you've never thought of before. I don't know. But I believe it's bursting forth on the inside of you. And I can just hear some of you thinking, hurry up and let me go so I can go out and find somebody. And that's the way we need to get up every day and face every moment. Give me another place, Lord. Show me another person. Give me another message. Give me, hallelujah. I used to wake up in the morning, still do, but I wake up in the morning and say, where do you want me to go today, Lord? What do you want me to do today, Lord? What do you want me to say today, Lord? Who do you want me to say it to today, Lord? And then as you go, listen. It don't make any difference whether you're in Starbucks, Walmarts, anybody know a fancy store? Neiman. What, Neiman Marcus? Don't make a difference where you are. You don't have to go be stupid. I'm not talking about being stupid. The stupid guys are the ones that they don't let back in Walmart anymore. You got to be stupid. They won't let you back in Walmart. But anyway, stupid guys are the ones they won't let back in there anymore. Tell them, no, you can't come back in. I'm not talking about going being stupid. I'm talking about going being Lord. I'm talking about going being king. I'm talking about going being who you are, the body of Christ. And have the word so full on the inside of you, when something comes up, say, well, the word says. Well, the word says. And listen all the time for that still small voice where that anointing will tell you which word to say. And you'll say, not only does the word say, but I heard the Lord say. And then you speak that forth. And watch. I challenge you. I don't care who you are. I challenge you. Go do that. And watch the miracles that will happen. Wherever you are. Whatever's going on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Praise your name, Jesus. I believe that 2015 is a time that the church is going to break forth like it's monsoon season. Not just a wave, but the monsoon. Praise God. You know where it's going to start? Right here. Right now. Right this moment. Those who will dare say, I believe. I receive. I am. Therefore I can. Therefore I will. Therefore I go. I am Lord of all. I am King. I am in charge. The devil's not in charge. Circumstances are not in charge. Because I'm the body of Christ. And I have the word. And the word is confirmed. With signs following. Miracles follow me. Everywhere I go. I can't run fast enough to get away from them. They follow me. They happen. People are amazed. People look at me and say, how did you do that? And I tell them it's the King. He reigns. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He has anointed me. I am anointed. I'm not a fivefold ministry gift. But I'm anointed. I should say I may not be a fivefold ministry gift. But I'm anointed. And I'm anointed by the same Holy Ghost. I'm anointed with the same power. I have the same word. And the same miracles follow. Because it confirms the word. Now lift your hands and worship God. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we worship You. We praise You. We glorify You. We magnify You. Thank You, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Now listen, I have heard people say this. I understand what they mean when they're saying it, but I want you to think of it differently. I've heard people say, the glory is here. The glory is here. Miracles are going to happen because the glory is here. We no telling what's going to happen because the glory is here. I want you to start thinking, I'm here. I'm here. I am the glory. I have the word. Praise God. It's me. I'm here. Praise God. The answer's here. What's the answer? Me. I brought it with me. I got the word. The word. Oh, boy, you're thinking yourself too high. We ain't got time to talk about that. When you think that it won't work for you, that's when you're thinking too high. It works for the word works for everybody. For everybody. The word is the same for everybody. Doesn't depend on your calling. Doesn't depend on your nationality. Doesn't depend on whether you're tall, short, fat, or skinny. Rich, poor, white, black, yellow. It doesn't depend on any of that. The word. The word. The same word. Works the same for everyone. Praise God. Now I want you to go do it. Go do it. Go do it. Go do resurrection works. Praise God. Why? Because we're alive. Amen. We don't go to sleep until next Sunday and then wake up again. Because we're alive all the time. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus.